At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
A 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Self-control is strength. Calmness is mastery. You have to get to a point where your mood doesn't shift based on insignificant actions of someone else. Don't allow others to control the direction of your life. Don't allow your emotions to overpower your intelligence. All right, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully you had a glorious weekend. It's a beautiful Monday in Lincoln, Nebraska. The temperature is getting warmer. The humidity is starting to creep in just a smidge. But as always, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, the Adam Carriker Show, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. Grab your lunch. Come join us. Occasionally, every once in a while, we hit the market. We're smarter than the average dumb guys. In the meantime, what you're going to hear is Husker sports, college football, and sports in general. What you're going to get is unique insight and bridled honesty. And producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. All right, you probably guessed it, but yes, it is indeed a loaded show. Nebraska softball, number 2 seed in the Baton Rouge Regional. Can they make a deep postseason run? World Women's College World Series type run. What can they do? What do we see? Who are they playing? UConn. All right. It's who they're going to be playing Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Baseball. All right. Did not get the win on Sunday, but they took the series from Michigan over the weekend. This was a big series for Nebraska baseball. And they've now won four weekend series in a row. They've won 4 of them in a row. A couple of dramatic fashion type wins over the past couple of days, Friday and Saturday over Michigan. Can they make a run in the Big Ten tournament? Pretty much they got to win the thing. I mean, this is a squad that won it last year. This is a squad that has as many or more people back than most teams from a year ago. Preseason prediction, it was supposed to be Oregon, supposed to be Nebraska. As long as they're one of those 12 teams, all that matters is what you do once you get in the Big Ten tournament. Now, are they going to be favored to win? Absolutely not. Do I think they have a shot? Are they getting warm? I don't know about hot. Call them getting hot if they make some noise in the Big Ten tournament. But they're getting warm, dare I say, borderline, a smidge on the hot side of things. And we'll see how they do in the Big Ten tournament. Can they make a run? The experience, the talent, the potential is there. All right. Also, the offensive line. How are they going to do this year? How do they look after the spring? How do they look in the spring? How do they look after the spring? How do we project them going forward into the fall? We got a whole bunch of other things to chat about as well throughout the show. All right, Jake, how was your weekend? How are you doing, my man?
Yeah, I can't complain. I think I had a good weekend. The Celtics won, which I was worried about. They couldn't fall down 3-0. So that was the most important part of my weekend. But now they will have some fun, relax, and get excited about, like you said, baseball and softball really kind of turning the corners. It's especially for baseball, like you said, they needed that series win. So now they're positioned pretty well. And it's time. It's tournament time. The funnest time of the year.
All right, so I was going to dive right into baseball and softball, but you brought up the NBA. Every time you talk about a Boston team, I have to remind myself that you're a Boston fan, okay, because you're like the Celtics. I'm like, what? And you said something a couple of weeks ago. It was anti-New York Yankees, which I can completely get on board with, but then I had to remind myself that you're a Red Sox fan.
That's right.
All right, so real briefly, let's talk about the NBA playoffs. So the Celtics are not down 0-3.
That's right.
They're down 2-1. All right. Give me your brief update and or synopsis on the NBA playoffs up to this point. And if somebody out there hasn't watched a moment of the NBA playoffs, And they're kind of like, I'm going to tune in during the conference finals, or I'm going to tune in come the next round. Give them the update and synopsis they need to have.
Well, here we are. I mean, we're kind of getting ready. We got four series going. We mentioned Boston and New York. The Eastern Conference has really been dominated by the road teams. There's only been one team in, what, six games now seven games that have won in these series. But in any case, Boston was down. They're defending champions 2-0. So they had a big weekend win, like we were kind of saying to the Knicks. And then also tonight we've got Minnesota and Golden State. Minnesota is up 2-1. And what's important in that is still Steph Curry's health. He's mm-hmm. expected still to be out here. So big game for Golden State tonight. Obviously Minnesota, a franchise that I think people have tracked maybe here from being in the Midwest, not necessarily usually in the conversation. So it could be a big night for Minnesota as well. NBA lottery tonight, by the way, but also, as we look over in the other side of things, well, I guess that was the East and West, so I didn't do that perfectly. But also, OKC defeated Cleveland to tie that. Excuse me, defeated Denver to tie that series at 2-2. That seems to be the best, most competitive series at this point. OKC, the number one seed, only 14 losses all season long in the regular season. Very young, but obviously very good. And then and they'll probably have the MVP in of the league in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Him, along with Nikola Jokic and Giannis Antetokounmpo, were all named finals for the MVP there. But obviously Denver won a couple years ago, so that's a big series. And then yesterday, 129-109 Pacers topped the Cavs. The Cavs were the number one seed in the East, so it could be a bit surprising to see the Cavs where they are now down 3-1 in that series. Pacers tied an NBA playoff record with a 41-point halftime lead. So it looks like the Pacers are going to cruise into the Eastern Conference Finals, but they still got to win one more game.
You know, it's interesting. Yeah. So the Celtics, they pulled within 2-1, like you said. Minnesota is up 2-1 over the Golden State Warriors, as you mentioned. The most competitive series, I agree, is OKC and the Denver Nuggets. Tied at 2-2. OKC, like you said, was number one seed. They've been able to tie the series. I think OKC is going to pull it out. The Nuggets, didn't they just fire their coach and GM? And they're bouncing back really well against the number one seed. But I do think OKC will pull that out. I'm with you, the Cavs. I talked about them at one point earlier this year. All anybody wants to talk about is the Lakers and LeBron James and Bronny James and all this and that. It's like a month and a half ago. And I'm like, the Cavs are like the best team in the East right now. The problem is they're down 3-1 to the Pacers, and it doesn't look great. All right, we'll see what happens there. It's interesting. Whenever I think of the Knicks, I can't get out of my head John Starks, Patrick Ewing, the teams that I watched growing up. And it's been so long, with all due respect, since the Knicks have been good. There's not a whole lot of memories in between there or things to remember, I would say, when it comes to the Knicks. So it always comes back to Starks and Ewing and Mason and a lot of those other guys that were on those teams. And so I'm like, with all due respect, Jake, I'm rooting for the Knicks. We need the Knicks to be good again. That's just my humble opinion. I do think one mistake the NBA has made. As we all know, the NBA ratings are down. It's not as popular as it once was. It's not even freaking close. To be honest with you, we can talk about the three-point shooting. We can talk about how guys maybe don't seem to want to compete, and they'd rather play with their friends than compete against each other to see who's better. I don't think there's the same intensity as there once was. The flopping. You know, the stacking of teams per se. But I think a major mistake that the NBA has made when it just comes to marketing the league through which games and players they feature, they're like Lakers, number one brand, put them on TV. LeBron James, biggest name we have, put them on TV. Here's that's kind of their general overarching, like on Christmas Day, you're going to see these same teams that you've seen for years, and it seems to be the same, with all due respect, aging players. Like, when you talk about a particular player probably going to win the MVP award, say his name again.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I wonder how many people out there even have any idea who that is. Okay, so for me, if I'm the NBA, I'm looking ahead to who the upcoming stars are. And I'm trying to feature those guys because they have not conditioned their audience at all to watch the teams that are still left in the playoffs. Like, people hear the Celtics, and they're like, okay, I know that. They just won last year. The Knicks, oh, they used to be good at least, but the Timberwolves, and you start thinking about even the Cavs are the number one seed, and you start looking around at these teams that are going to be left in these Eastern and Western Conference Finals, or at least the teams you expect to be there. Even the Oklahoma City Thunder, like my mind still goes Russell Westbrook and James Harden and Kevin Durant, even though that was ages ago because they're never featured. The probable MVP of the league is not put in prominent spots on TV. The top seeds. I wonder how many people even knew Cleveland was the number one seed in the East, whether they come back from this 3-1 deficit they have to the Pacers or not. If you're the NBA, you have to feature your upcoming players, your rising stars. You don't have a draft that people are dying to tune into anymore. Okay, you've got the one and dones in college, which a lot of those guys haven't developed into your stars. It's been a lot of the guys that have come over from Europe, which you're not going to have any idea who they are before they come to the NBA. So you don't have ready-made stars out of college. You don't have recognizable names right out of high school. Like I knew who LeBron and Kobe were out of high school. Your better players seem to be coming over from Europe, which is perfectly fine, but people aren't familiar with who they are. The most recognizable player from Europe that I ever knew of was Tony Kukoc. And a lot, I know a lot of these names are from a long time ago, but that's because the popularity of the NBA is failing. They're not conditioning their audience to, hey, these are the up-and-coming stars. Get used to watching them. They're hanging on to guys who may not even be around in a couple of years because they may retire, and franchises who aren't even in the playoffs anymore. So now when you get to the deep into the playoffs, it's like, well, I don't know who's on the Thunder. I haven't watched the Cavs all year. The Timberwolves, what? Okay, it's kind of like, unless you're Jake who watches it a ton, me who tunes in at this time of year, I don't watch it a ton until this time of year. Most folks are going to be like, there's no brand recognition. There's no player recognition. I have no interest. I've not been conditioned to watch any of these teams. This is not that interesting to me. Does that make sense to you, Jake? I feel the way that they've chosen to spotlight certain players, spotlight certain teams, is actually hurting the NBA, because when you get to playoff time and finals time and big name MVP and big name recognition time, like I know who that player is, it just doesn't exist in the NBA because it's like the WWE when Hulk Hogan used to come back and he'd be featured, or The Rock to this day still comes back. He's a little bit of an outlier because of the Hollywood thing, but old time wrestlers would come back and they'd be featured, and the guys that were there week in and week out, all of a sudden when WrestleMania is over and the big time names go away, I'm less interested because the guy I'm watching on Monday Night Raw for the next 6 weeks or 6 months, he just lost to the guy that's like not going to come back for a year. So it's almost like you condition the audience for a long time to watch these big names, these old time names in wrestling, and when they go away, I'm not as interested in the current product. It's similar with the NBA, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of things to kind of break down the NBA. You know, it has done a good job of kind of becoming a global game. There are some sides of it that can be good. But altogether, it is, you know, there is a, like you said, there's a problem maybe with a lot of folks relating to some of these NBA players. But, you know, it is also.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
You know, for a long time, and the NFL, it doesn't matter as much because the NFL is going to draw numbers one way or the other. But the NBA, over the last 10 years, was most popular when Cleveland and Golden State were going at it year in year. And yeah, so we kind of talk about these dynasties, and sometimes, you know, I remember during those years, it was like, why do we even play? It's just going to be Cleveland and Golden State. So it's always something to complain about, but that's when people were interested. Mm-hmm. And dynasties generally are good for any sport. And so I think the NBA is a little bit hurting because of that. Last 5 years, you'd have had a different champion, which is good as far as like building stars to a degree, like getting everybody an opportunity. The NBA is not, it's not the shield. It's not protect the shield. It's build up your stars and run with them. And obviously with LeBron, you've just had mostly not the greatest returns in LA. So it kind of feels like a drop off from when he was competing in Cleveland, when he was in Miami or whatever, and they did win one title here with Los Angeles. But you know, it does feel like that's can be the problem when you drive your stars so high and there's two or three guys that are kind of driving the sport's interest. Once they leave the playoffs, you know, some people can tune out. So it's kind of interesting. Even Steph Curry, that's why I kind of mentioned it. It's obviously bad for Golden State, but that's still a name that people will turn the TV on to go check out. I don't know, like you said, with SGA or, you know, Jalen Brunson. I mean, these are good names, in NBA circles, but I don't know if they kind of get the general sports fan drawn to the TV.
Let's be honest. There's name brand recognition to the playoffs and big time stars. Like, It's weird to say, but the NBA needs stars. They need to either develop stars by how they feature certain players, like who's on the Christmas Day game and who's on primetime games and things of that nature, or they need stars to develop, and then they need to be recognized a little bit more. Otherwise, people aren't going to pay attention because they don't have familiarity with what's going on. Oh, these are the two best teams in the NBA. I don't know anything about them. I think I heard of that Giannis guy 5 years ago, but I don't really, he's the Greek freak or something. But other than that, I don't really know anything, if I'm the casual fan, so to speak. The reason the NFL is doing so well in popularity, and if they're not careful, again, there's a light at the end of the tunnel for college football. I just don't know how long the tunnel is away. If they're not careful, they're going to damage college football, which will then trend upward to the NFL, and I'll explain why. It used to be you'd follow high school recruiting. I would dare say high school recruiting for college football was probably followed more closely than the Major League Baseball draft. And that's not meant to be disrespectful. But people I knew were more familiar with players coming out of high school to college football than players who were being drafted into pro baseball. And then those players are in college football for 3 years, so you get to know them. You become well-versed in them, and you follow their career, and you feel an attachment to them. Now it's a little bit harder with players bouncing from team to team, the transfer portal and all that, which is what I'm talking about with college football. Has got to be careful. I do see hope in the future at some point. And then though you'd have ready-made stars that went right into the NFL, which is why the NFL draft is its own entertainment megastorm. It really is. People tune in to watch the – I read – what stat did I read? I forget. I read it a week ago. More people tuned in to watch the NFL draft than the NBA finals last year. Do you remember when I read that? I don't have the stat in front of me again. But more people watched guys' names be announced than a championship, a world championship being fought for. And it's because of the familiarity. It's because you followed their journey. It's because you know who they are. It's because they've been featured more properly. And so then they go into the NFL. You've got ready-made stars. A Travis Hunter clip from OTAs right now may get as many views as a game-winning jumper in a random NBA playoff game right now. That's not meant as a disrespectful thing. I actually would prefer it was different. To me, the way the NFL has things structured, starting with high school, then into college, and then you've got ready-made stars that go into the NFL, that's one of the major reasons it's doing so well. I think the one and done is hurting college basketball. I've always thought either just go right out of high school or go 2 years like they used to do. I've always thought 2 years was really good because I think it actually helps the NBA to have more recognizable guys, more ready-made stars coming in. I mentioned Kobe and LeBron earlier. There aren't a whole lot of guys who come out of high school in basketball that are just instantly known. They do happen from time to time. Was Kevin Garnett another guy that came out of high school way back in yesteryear?
Yep.
But see how far I have to go back to remember these things? Of course, the one-and-done rule has been in effect for about a decade or so. But for me, the way it's built from high school to college to the NBA, how they're featuring guys, and then everything I've mentioned, things I've mentioned in the past is one of the reasons the NBA is struggling. I just don't want it to bleed over into college football. The biggest thing the NBA is missing to me is true intensity from top to bottom. Every time you turn around, there's some sort of reason some guy isn't going hard. We've got the clip that we've held on to for like 2 or 3 months. Maybe we'll just play it tomorrow, or maybe we can play it the next segment. I don't know. You've got it. I know you've got it ready. But basically, Shaq is basically Jimmy. It was Jimmy Butler before he went to Golden State, right?
Yeah.
Like he's going to get paid like $50 million or something this year. And Shaq was like, he wants to be traded. He shouldn't go hard. And that just blew my mind. Like for $50 million, whether you want to be traded or not, you have to try to figure out if you want to go hard. The overall issue is a lack of recognizability from the consumer, the fan's point of view. I don't know who these players are. And then when you tune in, I don't have a reason to stay engaged because you've got load management, because you've got these super teams, because you've got guys, again, it comes across, they'd rather play with their friends then find out who the better team is and fight for a championship. There's a lack of overall intensity to the same level that it once was. There's obviously still players out there who would fit that mold perfectly, but as an overall whole, the intensity isn't the same. So I have a lack of recognizability with certain teams and players when I tune in. okay, if I'm a normal fan, typical fan, and then, well, they're shooting a bunch of threes. They're not really playing D. And I'm pretty sure they're best friends after they just went into quadruple overtime and had a game winner. The two sides are acting like best friends, like it wasn't that big deal who won and lost. Like, why do I want to stay tuned in and stay engaged? I promise I'm not trying to bury the NBA. College football and the NBA were my two favorite things I watched as a kid. It was number one college football. It was number two NBA. It was number three Major League Baseball. And it was number four the NFL. That was my order. One, two, three, and four. For me, I miss that. I miss wanting to tune in. I remember 96, the Bulls, you know, they end up winning 72 games. They win the championship that year. I want to say they were playing Denver. It was a road game. I can't remember. They were down by 30 at like halftime. And I remember this is a random game, the middle of the season, doesn't really matter who wins or loses. And I remember specifically going and getting a drink, a meal, and sitting in front of the TV because I knew the Bulls were going to come back. The question was, could they come all the way back and win the game? And to this day, they did not win the game. But it was just a random NBA game in the middle of the season. But I went and grabbed food and drink because I'm like, I'm watching. I know Jordan and Pippen are going to make a comeback. And Rodman, are they going to be able to come back and win this seemingly meaningless game in the NBA, which was highly entertaining to me at the time? I can't remember the last time with an NBA regular season game that I've done that and been that into a game. So it's not that I'm trying to slam the NBA. It's I miss that, and I want it again. All right, Jake, what are your thoughts? And then we'll go to take our first break, and then we'll talk Nebraska softball, Nebraska baseball. Look what you did when you brought up Boston.
That's a pretty good deal there. Well, it's just interesting. Again, I just kind of go back to the top. I always go back to the ratings and kind of see what they were. The Merce Watch primetime telecast of 2024. It's crazy. You just go, it goes, what, 11 deep of the top broadcaster NFL till you get to the presidential debate and then the Oscars and then more NFL. And then this was, you know, this year, the Summer Olympics, the World Series jumped in 18th because that was Dodgers and Yankees, which is the best possible scenario for the Major League Baseball. So they were able to kind of keep up there. College football jumped in at 23rd with the semifinal game that year. But all this is peppered with NFL everywhere. And then I kind of got to, and this is 2024, obviously 2025 is not concluded yet. So, you know, we don't know exactly how all that would shake out. But yet 45, you have the women's college basketball game, South Carolina and Iowa, the championship game there. I had to go all the way down to, I'm still looking, I'm still scrolling. But 63rd was the highest rated NBA finals Lord. Game.
It's that bad?
Of last year. So, yeah, I mean, and part of it, I think they, you know, they put it on all these different ways that you can watch it, so it's not all consumed just by the TV product, but obviously that's the biggest, you know, biggest way to do it. So yeah, it's interesting, and that's not just sports, that's everything included. I mentioned the Oscars and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and a lot of this was, you know, Summer Olympics took a lot of those days as well. But yeah, it's a far way from competing with the top, as is anybody with the NFL, but you know, could be a lot better.
Like I said, I just miss it. I don't know why I have that distinct. I lived in a duplex. Okay, then we got kicked out of that duplex because the lady said the dog and I were ruining the yard. What really happened was Bob, her husband, who was an incredibly nice guy, passed away. She was not so nice, Sharon, and she just wanted us out.
Whoa, calling out the names.
She lives in Washington, and I didn't say her last name.
Okay.
Nobody's going to know who... She was an older lady when I was 8, okay? Mm. So maybe she's still alive. The odds probably are not great, all right? My point is simply, she just wanted us out and conjured up a reason and blamed me and the dog. But then we moved to another duplex, literally five houses or duplex down. I literally just remember carrying all our stuff down the sidewalk and moving it in. But I digress. I have this distinct memory of several, like Kevin Johnson and Barkley and Dan Marley and all them versus the Bulls and Steve Kerr hitting the game winner in Phoenix, game six, the pass from Jordan. And I remember, everyone remembers the flu game and the Jordan hitting that game winning shot, which he did push off, okay, but hitting the game winning shot to win finals number six, championship number six in Utah. And I remember him making 6 3-pointers and shrugging his shoulders versus Portland and Clyde the Glide Drexler. And I remember him beating the Supersonics and the glove and Sean Kemp. And I was like a Sonics guy. And I was like, finally, somebody's going to beat him. Never mind. Nobody ever even took them to seven games. Did you realize that? Nobody ever took the Bulls to seven games in the finals at Bloomington. Like, I have all those memories, and I miss that. I miss it mattering that much. And if it was just me, I'd be like, dang, Adam, smack myself in the face, get your act together, pay attention. It's still great. It's great, but it's not as entertaining, and people aren't tuning in, and it is clearly not just me, and I just miss it. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Again, you never know what we're going to talk about. That was not on the docket for today. But like I said, this is the time of year when I tune into the NBA a little bit more, or a lot of bit more, and pay a lot of attention. We will be talking more NBA stuff, especially as the finals get closer. But when we come back, the aforementioned Nebraska softball and Nebraska baseball. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.